Hello and welcome back. Dr. Shaw here, and this is our 14th podcast on teaching humanity remotely. Today we're going to be discussing learning lessons. Based on what people have been writing to me, there's a question, many questions, but I think the umbrella question is, what is a learning lesson? So I'm going to actually read what is defined by a dictionary saying, a learning lesson or lessons learned is knowledge or understanding gained by experience that has a significant impact. So when we learn something new, when we have a learning lesson, there is a shift. There is something that changes based on the new knowledge. Based on the experience, we gain new knowledge, and that new knowledge gives us a lesson that we've learned something new. So I want to talk to you about when working with children, if there isn't a significant impact or a change in either the child's behavior or the child's academic ability, even though they've been introduced to the learning and are having experiences that are supposedly fostering learning, is there really a learning lesson if the learning has not been mastered? Let's think about that. Now, there are ways in which we learn that takes steps, little baby steps, until we can really understand the full concept. Like, let's say, learning how to read. In the beginning, when I'm learning how to read, I may only be able to sound out very small words like k, at, cat, or dog, dog, right? In the beginning, I might have a very small repertoire of strategies that are going to teach me how to master this new skill called reading. As I learn and have more experience in what we call reading, I'm going to start to use a variety of strategies. I'm going to build up my sight word vocabulary. I'm going to know about words and the rules that the magic E makes the vowel inside the word say its own long sound, its own name, right? I'm going to know to match pictures with the initial word and sounds that I see. I'm going to say what makes sense there. I'm going to be able to use a lot of different strategies to learn to be a better and better and better reader. So there are lessons that I will have that will teach me a little bit more of a certain skill every single time I have the lesson, if I'm learning it, and until I really have mastery. So there is that kind of learning that is accumulative. It has to grow upon itself. It accumulates. Now, let's talk about if I want my child to learn how to share, and my child is grabbing toys when he or she is playing with his or her sibling. And that behavior keeps on happening, even though we are providing learning lessons, which means we're providing opportunities and experiences, but the learning hasn't happened yet, right? So even though we're providing the learning, it hasn't been mastered. You're giving the lesson, but it's not being received. What do we do then? What do we do when we're giving children the lessons and they're not receiving the lesson? Do we just give up? Well, not if you really want your child to have a new learning. We can't just give up, right? So what we have to do is we have to find different strategies. So for instance, I wrote a book called Anger. And in the book called Anger, having angry feelings is sometimes appropriate and necessary. There are things that get us angry. We don't want to have children who don't express their feelings. We want children to be able to say this is how they're feeling. We want them to understand why they're feeling that way. And in fact, we really want them to be able to express themselves. Not every way that I suggest in the book is going to work for every child. So I suggested many different strategies. And there are even more than what I've suggested because it's a really kind of short book. So for example, I have a child who's angry. This is what you can do when you're feeling angry. You can go into your room and you can punch your pillow. That's one possible strategy that you can choose that can make you feel better. You could put all of your angry thoughts and words in the sink and wash them down the drain. You could put your angry thoughts and words in the toilet and flush the toilet bowl. You can just sit and be quiet and breathe and see if breathing in and out 10 times makes you feel better. Then, after presenting all of those different possibilities, you can talk to your child about what felt best, what worked for your child, and why. Because once you do that, then the learning is much more secure, and your child can begin to have a self-extending system, a system that makes them independent in their learning. They won't need to talk to you about it anymore. They know that when they get angry, you know it really feels best when they hit a pillow. That's what works for them. For someone else, it might be a different strategy. So a learning lesson is, I think that there are small little learnings that occur throughout a whole study that's being investigated. And then I think that ultimately a learning lesson is significant enough to have an impact on the experience. That's the key. For example, if a child misbehaves and says, sorry, 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 which some do, and they don't change their behavior, that to me is not a learning lesson. So if I want my child to, let's say, not just say sorry, but rather really change the behavior that caused them to say they're sorry, I have to hold them very accountable. And I have to be very committed to the consistency that is going to really ensure that the learning lesson will occur and that there will be mastery. Now, when it comes to saying you're sorry, you could have that learning lesson and you can behave in a way that when you make mistakes, you actually say you're sorry and change your behavior. And then every once in a while, you may misbehave, say you're sorry, and forget to change your behavior. Or the behavior may be so compelling that even though your child is sincerely sorry, they may not have the skill or stamina to be able to change the behavior. And if that's the case, then you need to call your child out on that. And you can say, I know, you know, you got into this bad habit that when it's time to go to bed, you always want to have water. And then after the water, you always need to go to the bathroom. And then after the water and the bathroom, you always need me to read another story. And so therefore, instead of going to bed at 8, you wind up going to bed at 8:30. This is not working. You say you're sorry, but it happens night after night after night. We are going to change this together. And so like in all learning, in the beginning, your child may need help in changing that behavior. In fact, you want to ensure that they do change the behavior. So you're going to scaffold it just the way you're going to scaffold all learning, right? You're going to scaffold when your child forgets to say please or thank you when you're asking them to say that. You're not going to say please. They're going to ask you for something. They're going to omit the please. And you might say something, what did you forget to say? So you're helping them. You're scaffolding it. You're not telling them to say it. You know that they really know. So you're just sort of refreshing their memory by just asking that leading question. That's scaffolding. So when you want your child to change the behavior because they're really saying they're sorry and you sincerely think that they are, but they're not having the ability to carry that through to have that learning lesson be mastered, then you need to scaffold that and help them. So what are other ways in which we need to ensure we're having learning lessons? So for instance, I think a very big thing that we need to examine and look at is how we see the mistake. Now, we've talked about this before. It really takes like a reshaping. I think that if you see a mistake as a negative, I think as long as you have that mindset, I think it's going to hinder the possibility of rapid learning lessons. And it's actually going to even hinder the possibility of any learning lesson. So I need to really see that my mistake, just like in the movies, is a retake. It's a retake and it's an invitation to get that learning lesson. The whole reason we need learning lessons is because there's something I don't know and there's something that I want to learn. And I need to embrace that and teach my children as early as I can that it's the not knowing phase that's where the inspiration lies. Once I've mastered the knowing, the new learning that I wanted to learn, and I really have a learning lesson that is mine to keep and can actually help me get a self-extending system, once I have that learning lesson mastered, then I need to be on to something else, to learn something else. I can feel good that I have that new knowledge, but I'm never done. As long as I'm alive and I can think and I can improve and I can learn more, I want to learn more. And every step of my learning, especially if I'm being challenged, there will be mistakes. I'll need to, like, practice makes perfect. I'll need to keep on trying and trying and trying. And I need to see that the process of learning is full of inspiration. And I need to have a kind of reverence and admiration for the not knowing phase instead of having an attitude of frustration. Now, there are times where what I am trying to achieve is not within my skill set. For instance, I don't think I'd make a very good car mechanic. Plumbing is not my thing. I wouldn't be a good electrician. You know what I'm saying? There are things that are not in my skill set that if I were trying to study and have learning lessons, I could have very high frustration. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, as a parent, as a teacher, it is my responsibility to ensure that I have very high expectations for the children that I'm working with. And that if I am inviting them to have a learning lesson, I'm inviting them to have that lesson because I know it is within the realm of their ability. I may need to hold the space for them because they may feel like it's too hard for them. I may need to scaffold the task with them. There might be lots of ways in which I need to help them through the new learning. But if I'm asking them to do something, I'm asking them to do something because I know they can do it. And they may not feel that they can, and I may need to talk them through it. But I need to hold the space, have high expectations, and be very reasonable and really be clear. I think the best thing we can do for children is to say, look, today's a new day. And I know that you're coming to the table feeling like when you make a mistake that somehow you got it wrong or somehow you're failing. And I'm here to tell you that when you make a mistake, you're being invited to see where you got stuck, what you didn't know, and how we're going to work together to figure out what you need to figure out so that you have that new learning. And there you have the learning lesson. So within any task, there's lots of different layers and levels. And one layer and level that I think is essential is to be looking at the whole learning process with new eyes. Eyes that are full of wonderment and excitement and that really give permission to the learner to be really okay with the not knowing phase. Because it's in that phase that all the discovery is happening. And so that's really what I want to bring home when I talk about learning lessons. Learning lessons are when you gain new skill, new knowledge, new abilities, new behaviors based on having new material. You're seeing something in a new way, in a different way, in a way that is giving you something that you didn't have before. So I used to not be able to do division, and then I worked really hard, and now I can do division. That's a new skill. I worked hard at it. I had lots of mistakes. I didn't feel bad about the mistakes. From time to time, I'd be a little frustrated. I'd need some help. I would want someone to scaffold for me, but I saw it through. And I think that the best thing we could do for children is to invite them to have a positive attitude and to engage in the mistake as really feeling eager because that's where the next learning is happening, and to not see it in a negative way and to not have any shame or embarrassment about it. And I think if we could really help children in that way, psychologically give them a different way to see the mistake as a retake, I think that they would learn faster, feel better about learning, be much less frustrated. And so I'm inviting you to try that. I'm inviting you for the next week when you're working with your child to see if you can really approach the task with a kind of eagerness and a kind of optimism and a kind of delight when there is that mistake. Remember the story when that baby wants to learn how to walk. Before they're successful walkers, they are falling down all the time, taking a few steps, falling down. Every time they fall down, they laugh and they get back up because the falling down is the inspiration to the next few steps of getting back up and being able to walk. From my experience, I'll tell you my answer, but I wonder if you would see a difference in how your child is learning and engage in their learning if we gave them the permission to have a lightheartedness and not get so heavy when there's a mistake, but rather that the mistake really is the celebration for the next new learning, hence the new learning lesson. So let's see what that looks like for the next week. Really make a commitment, a wholehearted commitment, that when they make a mistake, you start breaking the habit of frustration that usually comes along with making a mistake, but rather start engaging them with seeing the mistake as the new learning and seeing if even they can see by their mistake what's really needed. For example, let's say a child is writing the word dog and they write a B instead of a D. If you are engaged in learning in this way, right, where the mistake is the learning opportunity, you can say to your child, "What does that look right? Does that look right?" And they may be able to say, "Oh, I wrote a B and I meant to write a D." And if they do that, that lets them and it lets you know how close they were to really knowing how to write the word dog correctly, and that just with that little tweaking, they could write it correctly. That will give them such a fantastic sense of accomplishment. And if they don't know what's wrong when they write it, you can actually have a little alphabet chart and see, well, which is the B and which is the D? And if they need more help, you can just tell them. So there's lots of different ways in which you can help your child on a continuum. And the more you work with your child, the more that you'll know. But one way I think that would make learning so much more fun is if we just lighten the load psychologically, and instead of having the heaviness of having it all having to be perfect before we're really learning. We shouldn't know something before we learn it. So let's not deny ourselves the learning lesson, and let's remember that we're going to have the learning lesson by being able to embrace making mistakes so that we take retakes and we get it right. So I'm really looking forward to hearing from all of you throughout this week how it's going, and then on my next podcast, we're going to talk about what your findings are. And I think that if we can relieve some of the stress about learning, learning will be so much more joyous. Because when children are really young, they are full of wonder and they're in awe of everything. Oh, look at this leaf, look at this rock, look at this bone. Everything is just so big and magnificent and beautiful. And there isn't this heaviness of getting it wrong. So let's embrace learning with that lightness where there isn't this heaviness when there's that first mistake that then leads to frustration and shutdown. Let's like scream it out and be open-hearted and keep our arms spread, and let's be big-hearted and let's be full of joy in the learning, which incorporates and must have the not knowing phase. Otherwise, we're not learning anything new and we're not having learning lessons. So for the next week, let's enjoy all of our new learning lessons. Share with me at Learn With Me Remotely, and I will be able to address your concerns next week. Okay, so please feel free to go to my website again and share any concerns you have. Look at the books that I've written. Always new books happening and new things to see. And that is learnwithmeremotely.com. Until next week, enjoy your learning. Bye.
And that concludes this episode of the podcast series Teaching Humanity Remotely with Dr. Mindy Shaw. Thank you for listening. You can follow Dr. Shaw on Facebook. Her page is Learn With Me Remotely. That's on Facebook. That's also her website, learnwithmeremotely.com. Her podcasts and all the books that she's been referring to are on that site for purchase, and samples are there as well. You can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mindy Shaw 1. Doctor is abbreviated DR, and the one is the number one, Dr. Mindy Shaw 1. And on Instagram at Dr. Mint with a T, Shaw. Thanks again for listening. Watch out for the next podcast in the series. That'll be coming real soon.